is our teen service, and so we're looking forward to that. I'm going to go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we will turn it over to the teenagers. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to come in and worship and serve you tonight. Lord, we ask for your presence, Lord, to be in our presence. Lord, I do ask that you would be with the teenagers as they, Lord, they come and they sing to you. Lord, I pray that they would remember the words that they, Lord, that they've been practicing. And Lord, I pray that you would just calm their nerves. And Lord, I pray that they would just remember that this is to bring glory and honor to your holy name. Lord, I pray for the message later as Brother Caleb preaches. Lord, I pray that you give him the words to say, give him unction and liberty as he preaches. Lord, speak to that one that's nearest hell, I pray. And Lord, if there's one here that isn't right with you, I pray that they'll get right tonight. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I almost caught it.
Join me in standing and turn to Song 252. 252. And just before we start singing, I want you guys to think about what we're actually doing. We are about to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think a lot of times we can tend to forget that, and we can tend to make the song service kind of monotonous. And just think about what we're getting ready to do. Song 9, I love you, Lord. Next to you. You can keep playing. It's okay. Go ahead and welcome that person next to you. open to song 390. 390. I know this is normally an invitation song, something that you hear played at the end of the service, but there's no reason why we can't sing it before the service, before the preaching.
Amen. indeed. I love that song. Very glad that that's the one that Mr. Nathan or whoever it was that decided to sing that. And actually several of the songs tonight tie in decently well to parts of the message. Tonight, the idea for this message came from, on Wednesday night, I did a very shortened version of the Armor of God, kind of went through all the pieces at once, and the piece that has really always stood out to me personally is the breastplate of righteousness. And so tonight I'm going to preach on what is righteousness. If you would go ahead and turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Book of Ephesians chapter number 6. When you get there, go ahead and stand for the reading of the first verse or two here. All right. Going to read verse 11 and then the second half of verse 14. So Ephesians 6 verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then the second half of verse 14, "And having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let's go ahead and open in word of prayer this evening. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for just letting us be here tonight. God, I just pray that you would fill us with your righteousness. God, thank you for the teens, their willingness to participate in this service. Thank you for bringing Nathan and Sean along to help out in the teen classes and just what they're doing to help pastor and the church as a whole. God, just not only tonight, but every day of our lives, help us to just want to be more like you so that we can shine your light into this dark, dark world. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The breastplate of righteousness. I do a lot of reading. I have my family to thank for that. My parents had all kinds of subscriptions to different kids' magazines growing up, and both of my grandmothers bought me tons of books when I was younger, and I've just always loved reading, and I especially like reading about stuff, you know, set in the Middle Ages, whether it's actual historical things or whether it's, you know, works of fiction like fighting dragons and whatnot. I've always just loved that. And just as far as armor goes, the breastplate just has always kind of captured my attention because it's, for one thing, typically it's the biggest piece of armor that, you know, someone would wear. You know, you think about how just covering front and back and just the size, it's huge. And you could do so much with it, you know, whether make it simple, whether make it very ornate and into almost decoration like a lot of families did. It's just always captured my attention. And as far as the armor of God goes, what is the breastplate? It's righteousness. So to start with, you know, kind of need to define what righteousness is. Well, the Bible actually defines righteousness very, very simply. The first time that the word righteousness is ever mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Genesis. I know, big shocker. First time it's found is in Genesis. But specifically, chapter number 15, verse 6. This is Abraham talking with God. And it says, "And he," that's Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he," now that he is God, "counted it unto him for righteousness." What is righteousness? It's believing in the Lord. That's pretty simple. I looked at it, you know, just to get kind of a another point of view. I looked it up on dictionary.com, and it literally says living righteously. I was like, that really doesn't help me. Okay, righteousness is living righteously. But it's, you know, I like the Bible definition. That is nice. That's simple. He believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Just believing in the Lord. So then, why is it that we need righteousness? I mean, if it's part of the armor of God back there in Ephesians, you know, that means it's kind of important. Well, what's the breastplate cover? It goes from your neck to your waist. That is every vital organ in your body except for the brain. Okay? Everything in there. And so why do you need those protected? Well, first off, I think of the heart. That breastplate, that righteousness, protects your heart. Now, the world wants to tell you, follow your heart. That is the central message to tons and tons of movies that I've seen over the years. Oh, follow your heart, it'll work out. Oh yeah, you know, my heart just tells me to do, okay. That's, no. Bible has a lot to say about the heart, and it's not good things. We are not by nature going to choose that which is good. You know, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That you can't even know how evil your own heart is. But Satan and the world, they want to tell you to follow that. But that's why we need to have righteousness. We need to have belief in God, not a belief in our heart. If you believe in your heart, you're going to wind up doing something that you'll think it's right, but to anyone watching you, there will be no doubt at all that that is very, very wrong. Happens every day. We see it on the news. You cannot trust your heart. And then, being a somewhat large guy, the next thing that I think of, and you might not think of this as a vital organ at first, but it actually is actually your stomach. Your stomach is there. And now, what's your stomach do? Well, it breaks down food. It's what nourishes you. It's how you grow. And in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are verses that are pretty well known. They get written on a lot of cards for people who are graduating or such like that, and that's good, but there's a few more verses after those as well. So Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8 here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Again, trust in the Lord with your heart. Got that plug there. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Anyone who's not familiar with the word navel, that's your belly button. That's the technical, I think, name for it. So it's right there. It is health to your stomach for you to depart from evil and to fear the Lord. That's how you grow. That's what that is right there. If you want to grow, you've got to fear the Lord, depart from evil. And then all of that started with, you know, putting your heart to follow God. Not your heart itself, but following God. And then the next thing I think of is you've got your liver and kidneys that kind of work together in a lot of ways. And what do? They clean out your blood system, and they remove that which is bad from your body. And so, you know, if those get injured, then stuff that shouldn't be in your body just starts filling up and filling up and filling up. And so the spiritual, you know, parallel there is that, you know, we are out in the world. The world's full of all kinds of things that don't need to be in our lives. And we need to get rid of that. We've got to cleanse ourselves. Psalm 51:2, you know, right after David, you know, the sin with Bathsheba there, and he goes, just wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. That is David at what was probably the lowest point in his life. And what were some of the first things he said? Cleanse me from mine iniquity. He had things in his life that he needed to get out. And so that's what we need to realize as well. And the breastplate protects all of us from Satan's attacks. Satan shoots, you know, those darts or arrows is literally another word that you could use there. He's trying to hit us in our heart. Satan can only do what God lets him do to us, but Satan is very free to tempt us, and he's trying to grab us by the heart. He wants to pull us. He wants us to follow our hearts because he knows that if we just follow our heart itself, we'll go away from God. Satan wants to hit us in the stomach. He wants us to fill our lives with things that are of the world. He wants us to occupy our time and our energy with things that are not going to make us grow spiritually. Things that are maybe going to make us grow in, you know, maybe some intelligence. We could maybe be putting some time, but the important things are the things of God. That's what we've got to be filling our life with. Got to be reading the Bible and praying, talking to God. And then we've got to, no one in here is perfect. I guarantee you of that, all right? I'll be the first to tell you, I know I'm not perfect. I'm definitely not claiming that. I got things in my life that, you know, build up, and I got to get rid of them. I got to push those things out of my life so that they don't really lead me down the wrong path. And that's what that righteousness does. If we have a righteousness in our lives, the true righteousness of God, it will protect us in all those areas. It will keep us safe. And, you know, those are your vital organs. Those are important. Those are what drive your body to keep on going. That's huge. That's huge. We've got to have a faith in God as we go about our lives. Because what happens if we don't have true righteousness, the righteousness of God in our lives? Well, there's another kind of righteousness, the natural righteousness, you could call it. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." That's what the righteousness of God is, a strong, well-made, well-fitted, shining piece of armor that protects us. What's our righteousness? Filthy rags. And for anyone who's not familiar with exactly what that's talking about there, that's a reference to people who had leprosy, where your body will literally over time just rot and fall away. It's talking about the rags that they would literally use. They'd wrap them around their body to hold their body together. Those were the filthy rags. That's what our righteousness is. It's absolutely disgusting. They're gross, they're filthy, and if you're thinking about it in a military kind of sense, which would you rather be defended by? Having some gross, honestly wet cloth, or a piece of actual hardened steel? I don't want to be trusting in the nasty cloth to defend me. I don't want those filthy rags to be what's between Satan's arrow and my heart. I want the righteousness of God. I want that breastplate that is not my own. It's something that God gives to me and something that I have to put on. You have to put it on. Everyone in here who's saved, you have access to that entire arsenal right there, the whole armor of God, but you've got to put it on. Because what do? We go about our lives, we get maybe into some routines, we maybe get comfortable, and we kind of, you know, maybe forget a few things. Maybe we forget to do some safeguards, and maybe we give ourselves a little extra time somewhere that we shouldn't, you know, somewhere we got to go past, but maybe we go a bit slower sometime. We've got to be mindful of keeping the armor of God on us. Because if we don't, we just put it off. Oh, you know, I haven't had a problem with this in a while. I don't need it today. That's what Satan's waiting for. Believe me, I've learned from personal experience. Satan is always waiting. He's watching, looking for you to trip up. The one day that you are not thinking about it, that you are truly just going through the routine, that's when he'll get you. And he'll snare you and pull you off course. Now, you know, we already mentioned 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's a whole lot better if we just don't get, you know, off-headed onto the wrong way in the first place. So much better. And then, so ultimately, now, you know, I mentioned which would you rather be wearing in a battle, the filthy rags or the suit of armor. But honestly, that's if you're even saved in the first place. If you're unsaved, then all you have is your own righteousness. And if that is all that you have, then ultimately you're going to wind up with the same fate that the devil himself has. Because honestly, what it is at the end of the day is it all goes back to pride. It's thinking that you can do it. Thinking that you're smart enough. You're strong enough. You know better. That's not going to cut it. That is not going to cut it. It's about God. We've got to trust in God. Because what is Satan's final destiny? Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Time and time and time again, the Bible says it is not our works. If we are saved, we should be showing it. There should be a change in our life. But what we do is not what saves us. It's a faith in God. That righteousness, it all starts with acknowledging that we are not righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. Our own righteousness, my righteousness, the best I can do on my own, the best any of us can do, is worthless, filthy, and only good for holding something together that's already dead. But God's righteousness is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is a breastplate of righteousness that will defend us from any sword of Satan, from any arrow launched our way, any attack aimed at all those vital organs. Which one are you going to choose? Tonight, I had a very short, very simple message, but it's one that God just put on my heart. I want everyone in here to know that it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter ultimately what you do. What matters is what you believe. You can believe that there is a God and still go to hell. James 2:19 says, "Believest thou in God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." James even goes so far as to tell us that the devils tremble, that demons and Satan and all of those with him, they tremble when they think of God. But you know what? They're still doomed for hell because they don't believe in him. Tonight, won't you please put your faith in God? If you're already saved, which I hope most people in here are, but if you are, remember, you've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You've got to trust in God to help you live that life that will protect you from Satan. If you're not trusting in God, you're in for a bad time. Maybe not right away, but it will happen. But if you trust truly and fully in God, he will protect you and he will save you. And that is what will keep you out of hell, out of the final destiny that awaits Satan, and will let you spend an eternity in heaven. Tonight, let's go ahead and bow our heads. Let's go ahead and come forward. Like I said, had a very, very short sermon tonight. But just think about it. Because I would imagine that if you're here tonight, you believe that there is a God. But it's more than just believing God exists. It's acknowledging that you are not enough. It's that you need God. Can't do it alone. Only God can do it through you.
Accepted time. You're here and you're saved, but you're not right with God. been trusting in your own abilities, your own strength, your own power, your own righteousness. As Brother Caleb said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Trust in His righteousness. Brother Caleb, appreciate that message, amen. Wasn't that good? Breastplate of righteousness, and what a challenge to put on the armor of God. He just gave us a little taste of what's going on in the teens. They're hearing that every week, and we praise the Lord for the good biblical teaching that they're learning there, and appreciate that. Well, we're going to give you a couple announcements, and then tell you what's going on. I want to, as the men go ahead and come. You have a special. I didn't know how you had it scheduled. No? Okay, regular. Okay. We'll have the men come forward and we'll do our offering. But let me remind you of a couple things here. This coming Saturday is our prayer breakfast and soul winning visitation. I encourage you, everyone, to come out for a prayer breakfast. And if you're able to, stick around for our visitation and soul winning. Brother Nathan will have a plotted area where we want to go, and we want to hit some doors, invite folks to church. And so look forward to coming this coming Saturday for our prayer breakfast at 9, and then our soul-winning visitation probably about 10:15. And then Friday, March the 17th, is a teen activity, and looking forward to that. And then on April the 28th and 29th, I want you to mark your calendars. April 28th and 29th is where our couples retreat. We're going to go to Spring Mill State Park. And that's going to be a great time. There's a sign-up sheet on the back table at the Welcome Center area if you like to sign up. The cost is $125, and our speaker this year is Brother Bobby Sanders. It's going to be a great, great time. Please sign up for that so we can have a plan properly for that. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Eli, sir, would you please ask a blessing?
Thank you for giving Caleb the words to say. Please help us all to go our separate ways safely after the service and be with the gift and the giver of this offering. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just before Caleb offering,
everything that comes in that's not designated to our tithes or missions will go to our teen fund. They're trying to raise funds for to go to Costa Rica on a mission trip.
Thank you.
before we close in a word of prayer, I do want to... I appreciate the teens and their work this week. Wasn't that good? Appreciate that. They did a good job. And I think we've got some business going on down here. Miss Haley came to me and was talking to me a little bit, and I'll let her share with you what the Lord's doing in her heart. And I think they're still working. So we'll just go ahead and we'll stand and we'll close in a word of prayer. Do appreciate you being here tonight. Come back Wednesday evening, and we'll expect to hear from the Lord. And I think the Lord's dealing with my heart about finishing up this series on powerful principles or powerful verses in the Bible that have that can transform your life. Will change your life if these verses will, if you allow them, these verses will change your life. We've heard some good ones, and I'm looking forward to this coming Wednesday. So be here for the services. We're going to close in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Luke Lovejoy, sir, would you please close us?
Dear Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for saving your prayer. I receive your hope to be well. Thank you for this message we received this evening. I pray we take it to heart, Lord. I pray we just go our separate ways and remember this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.